First, the weird is getting weirder. Welcome to the Beer Feelings Podcast, where together we are indulging in life and craft beer. This show is all about demystifying the craft beer space in a fun and flirty way for those who are just beginning their beer journey or for people who already love their brews and are hungry to learn more. My name is Natalie Jones, and I am the beer drinking gal pal you never knew you had. My goodness. Oh my God, you guys, I can't believe we're already at 60 episodes. So 6-0. I keep pinching myself. So maybe you guys can believe it. But not only that, I was looking at the calendar of Facebook memories, or like I was looking at something, and I realized our show is officially 1 year old as of August 1st. So totally missed that, but yay, we did it. We made it. Time is flying. If you haven't listened to those first kind of set of episodes, those are some of my favorite topics just because we really got in. We got into the nitty gritty. We started teaching. So yeah, go back, celebrate the 1 year of Beer Feelings with me. Reminisce a little bit to what I was talking about. But today's episode is going to be a fun one. So this week, I want to share all of the trends that I personally am seeing in the craft beer space. I'm going to chat a little bit about what I've seen in Colorado versus New England, where I now live, as well as some general trends that I'm seeing across the industry. So let's get going. Now, this past week, when I was chatting to some other creators that I met them through different social channels, they let me know that they listened to the pod. So hello, you guys know who you are, but I wanted to take a quick opportunity to say, if you're one of my regular listeners, just shoot me a message or an email so I know who you are. I'm super curious who's listening, and I want to get to know you. So I want to get to know what you've liked listening to, what you want to hear more of, what I haven't touched upon yet. And then also I want to know just like, are there any episodes that didn't float your boat? So yeah, get in touch whether I know you in real life or not, because maybe we could get to know each other in real life if you're nearby, but would love to chat. Speaking of chatting, let's chat about some beer trends. So I wanted to start this episode by reflecting upon what I've seen that's different up here in Vermont versus down in Colorado. Since this is really like a unique position to be in, I probably will not do this big a move, or at least I hope I don't do this big a move again. It took a lot of energy. So the first thing that I've noticed is the brewery size. So in Colorado, there are all sorts of breweries. Some are in neighborhoods, others are very walkable on streets with little cute shops all around. And although they vary in size, you can probably hold like at least 100, even at the smallest of breweries. And I'm learning that as I explore the Vermont beer scene, just everything is much smaller. I mean, like there's a lot less people in Vermont, so that makes sense. But when I say small, we really aren't talking about micro breweries or like micro pubs any longer. We're talking about nano breweries. So there are a couple places I've been to that maybe have like I guess on the small side, 10 four top tables. Now, of course, there's some larger spots, some cool spots to see that are just as big as any of the breweries in Colorado. But just as an observation, it seems that the Vermont brewery scene is a little more petite. The second thing I'm noticing is the variety or diversity in styles of beer. Now, I didn't realize how spoiled I was learning to drink and learning to love craft beer while living in Colorado. There really is a brewery that specializes in just about anything you could dream up here. So we have a Belgian brewery, a German brewery, somebody that's great at sours, and on and on and on. And then there's a bunch of breweries that feature a bunch of different styles that take pride in their really like wide range of different things on their menu. Now, Vermont so far has been a little bit different. In New England, this should come as no surprise to anyone, but they have a number of New England IPAs. That makes sense. For me, like where Colorado has been able to represent in the breadth of styles, Vermont has really represented in the depth of the IPA kingdom. Now, there's still a lot of different things that you can drink, but if you look around, you're kind of like delving deeper into that one style. So what do I mean by that? If you look even like a little bit hard, you can probably find any kind of hop that you want to test out, every kind of IPA preparation. You can find dry hopped IPA, single hopped, all the things. So that's been kind of fun to see. I will say Although the IPAs in New England are the best that I've ever tried. And, you know, when I'm teaching and I meet someone that doesn't like IPAs, I want them to come out to Vermont and visit me, and I'll make them like IPAs because they're just that good. But I'm not always in an IPA mood. So sometimes I really want a Saison, or I really want a Goza or a smoothie sour or whatever. It makes me miss Colorado a whole lot. So probably an episode in the future, I think I might try some like beer delivery stuff. So fun sneak peek in a future episode. The third kind of major difference that I've noticed in the two places are the beer festivals. Now, both Colorado and Vermont are home to a number of different craft beer centric festivals. Everything from celebrations of all different kinds of styles to festivals that are a little more niche in their focus. Now, here, the difference that I've seen between the two states have been price and then also how much you get with your ticket. Like, kind of how this is showing up for me is Vermont has much stricter liquor laws than Colorado, which means at the last beer festival that I went to here in Vermont, I was limited to a certain number of little pours instead of unlimited samples like I experienced in Colorado. Initially, when I was looking at tickets, I was pretty hesitant about this change, but honestly, I think I'm liking how Vermont does it a little bit better. So what was included, it was a lower price ticket than what I've seen in Colorado, and it limited me to 15 little baby pours instead of like, stay as long as you want, have a great time. So the first thing that this did is it kept the ticket price down. And second, 15 pours was more than enough for me to have like a really great time, but not get gross and sloppy. So like I said, I was nervous about feeling limited or that it wasn't going to be as fun or I wasn't going to be able to like relax as much, but that just didn't happen. And I didn't feel limited. I was able to drink all the things and got to save a little money. So 1 point for Vermont over there, loved it. So those are the major things that I'm seeing kind of between the new states. Now let's talk a little bit about kind of more industry-wide what I'm observing. Now, are these real trends, or are these something like getting a new car where you see a bunch of the same car that you have because you were just looking for them? Like, I don't know, but this, from Natalie Jones's seat, this is what I'm noticing is going on in beer. So first, the weird is getting weirder. We've chatted on this show a couple of times about different adjuncts in beer, but just a little recap on what an adjunct is. An adjunct is anything added into a beer that isn't the yeast, the water, the hops, or the grains. So the past few months, I've seen, or like just became aware of these breweries, individuals that are continuing to push the limits on what you can put in there. What can exactly go in a beer? We're not just adding peaches anymore. We are adding in chicken wings. We're adding in cookies. But I've seen, if you can dream it, it's getting added into a beer, or if it doesn't exist now, it may exist soon. I personally love to see this, and I'm enjoying like this weird beer universe continue to grow. So this is like absolutely my jam. Then on the other end of the spectrum, something I've noticed is kind of a return to the classics, and I'm calling this a lager love fest. So breweries that aren't adding weird things to their beer are kind of going the other way and really embracing classic crisp recipes. They take pride in creating, I describe them as being crispy boys. So they're light on the tongue, they are easy to drink, they like fall into that crushable category. And actually how I started observing this is a number of the beer personalities that I follow on all the social channels are posting all the time about like searching out these really clean, well-made lagers. And then they spend extra energy sharing their excitement when they find a brewery that excels at them. This trend might be one that I've made up just because like normally I live in like weird beer land and now I'm getting sucked into the Lager Love Fest. And I really have enjoyed that Lager Love Fest means lagers are being brewed traditionally in flavors that aren't just beer flavored beer. So I'm here for it. I like it. So as I'm realizing that I'm saying all of this out loud, it appears that I'm loving both ends of this spectrum. So I'm liking the really odd and the really classic. And I don't know, maybe I just need to spend more time in the middle ground, but that's where I'm finding my happy place. And the trends that I'm seeing, at least, say that I can find a lot of those kinds of beers. But wrapping things up for the day, the last trend that I want to touch on that I'm really here for and I'm really exciting about is a celebration is what makes the breweries and the brewers unique. More and more, I'm seeing breweries that like announce loud and proud that they're female owned and operated or veteran owned and operated. They have different cultural backgrounds. They have different personal stories. And it's not just a sticker that they put on the front of their building or on their door. They're taking what makes them different and what makes them special, and they're putting it into the flavor of the beer. So for example, there's a brewery here in Colorado. Well, I guess I'm not here in Colorado anymore. There's a brewery in Colorado called Wagwan, and it's a Jamaican-inspired brewery. So they have access to different flavor profiles, and they loud and proud infuse that into their beer to make something really magical and different. So I think what's even more special to me is not only watching these brewers and breweries celebrate kind of like themselves, but then watching the communities rally around them and also get excited about something that's new or something that they haven't experienced before. So that's probably my favorite trend that I'm seeing. Like, there's a lot of new and we're being kind and we like new people and we like new things. So those are my trends for the day. If you guys are noticing anything different, like I said, shoot me a message. I love to talk to people that listen to the show, whether it's over email or I'm trying to do a couple more TikTok lives. It's been fun for me to hop on there and just have conversations with you guys. So send me some notes, tell me your thoughts, tell me your beer feelings. It's going to be great. But that is it for this episode. A couple of beer trends I'm seeing on my move, and then a few general ones that I'm seeing in the industry. I hope you're having a great day. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And then no matter what you choose to do, I hope you're doing it with a great beer in hand and even better people by your side. Absolutely. Make sure you listen next week. We have a fun interview lined up, but I'll catch you then. Cheers.